Our first scripture reading comes from Isaiah chapter 55. Listen for God's word. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that for which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And then Jesus offers this parable. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them. And other seed fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. The word of God for the people of God. Vacation Bible School was a great success last week, and Tim Chin captured many moments of how we discovered our strength in God during the week at Hero Central. Among the many pictures and videos, Tim interviewed a little girl and asked her, "What do you like about VBS?" It was a great question to ask. Surely she would say recreation or music or story time or crafts. Surely she would say the snack or seeing her friends or making new friends. At least that's what I thought she would say. "What did you like about VBS?" Tim asked. The little girl thought, "The bags. The bags that carry their papers and their stickers." Okay, well, you never know what kids will say or what they'll think of this such a big event. He then asked a little boy, "What did you like about VBS?" Surely it would be one of those things that I've already mentioned, but he replied, "What's VBS?" All right, I guess we had some new kids discovering their strength in God this past week with the help of their bags. Still, as I thought about the question, "What do you like about VBS?" I watched, and as I watched as the kids thought about their answers, it helped me see that the question itself made them pay attention to where they were. We didn't want them to just be there. We wanted them to truly discover their strength in God, to understand how they could be heroes for someone else as they used their strength to love and serve God. Questions that invite us to pay attention are really helpful. They can keep us from going through the motions of life, from mindlessly following the routine, even from having a faith and a spiritual life that doesn't grow or change. So here's a question for you. What did you like about last week? What did you notice? Where did you see God? How did you grow and change? Now, maybe for some of us, we might say, "Well, what happened last week?" Maybe it's all just a big blur. Or maybe you did notice some things that were worth pulling off to the side of the road for. People to stop and talk to, flowers to enjoy, food trucks to eat at, TED Talks to attend. Our scripture lesson today from the book of Isaiah might even ask if you noticed how creation was acting. Did you hear the mountains and the hills singing? Did you see the trees of the field clapping their hands? The cypress trees were part of the standing Sabbath of the woods. The myrtles were in full leaf. Bees were buzzing in and out of their branches. Now maybe you didn't notice the mountains or the myrtles, but what did you see creation doing this last week? The butterfly bush in my front yard this past week was pointing toward the sky and welcoming the butterflies. A chorus of pink pansies swayed to a song in the breeze. The day lilies sang their song until the deer ate them. All the trees, they clapped their branches in the winds of the storms. Those are the things I paid attention to last week. Paying attention is what John Muir, the naturalist, believes enhances the spirituality of life. One day he was hiking through the Sierras when his hiking partner said, "Someone told me you do not approve of the word hike. Is that so?" Muir replied, "I don't like either the word or the thing. People ought to saunter in the mountains, not hike." "Do you know the origin of the word saunter?" he asked. "It's a beautiful word. Way back in the Middle Ages, people used to go on pilgrimages to the Holy Land. And when people in the villages through which they passed asked where they were going, they would reply in French, 'A la Sainte Terre,' to the Holy Land. And so they became known as Saint Terres or Saunterers. Now these mountains," he says, "are our Holy Land. And we ought to saunter through them reverently, not hike through them. Perhaps then we will hear the music that they play and join in their song and even protect their singing. The very reason Muir worked tirelessly to create federal protections for them, that their song would continue on and it would be heard." Such thoughts, along with our scripture passage in Isaiah, invite us to pay attention to nature, to saunter through it, because nature is trying to tell us something. Our Isaiah reading comes at the end of a long period of judgment in the life of the Israelites. It ends a section of Isaiah called the Book of Consolation. And God is now sending out a word, a new word, to the Israelites that their punishment is over. God is about to do a new thing. A new day is dawning. But it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that anything new is coming when you've been in exile for so long. It's hard to believe in something new and hopeful when all you feel is judgment. We all probably understand how our perspective colors everything. Sometimes we let our sour outlook on life color our response to anything and everyone. Sometimes our suffering feels so long and hard that we forget what life was like before and don't believe that there's any life after it. That's where the Israelites were. And it's into that situation that Isaiah preached God's word, a word of hope, a word of grace, a word of life, whether they believed it or not. God's word, he said, is a force that comes down from heaven like rain and snow, bringing refreshment and growth and nourishment to the earth. God's word always accomplishes its goals, inspiring us to go out in joy and be led back in peace. And joining our jubilation are mountains and hills that burst into song and trees that clap their hands. Why? Because just like the rain and snow nourish the earth, God's word does not come back empty. It accomplishes its purposes. "Your suffering is over," Isaiah preached. "It's time for grace and hope, peace, joy, and new life. The cypress trees and the myrtle shrub shall grow up," says the prophet, "and they shall be to the Lord a memorial, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. These plants are a sign of a wonderful new thing that God is doing in human life. The days of judgment are over, Isaiah says, and new life is now available to all. That's what nature is trying to tell us. Now, did you happen to notice in Isaiah what happens when the rain and the snow come down from heaven to water the earth? It makes the earth bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. That seed to the sower phrase is mentioned only here in the Old Testament and one other place in the Bible, the parable of the sower and the seed, our second reading for today. It's like Matthew had this passage in mind when he shared this parable of Jesus. Jesus, too, was having a rough go of it. His ministry wasn't always very fruitful. People rejected him. People didn't believe him. But this parable wants us to see something about God that is true regardless of the ups and downs of church ministry and regardless of the ups and downs of life. God is like a farmer who goes out to sow. And he starts flinging seed everywhere. Good soil, bad soil, rocky soil, thorny soil, it doesn't matter. That farmer just flings an abundance of seeds everywhere because he knows if he sows enough seed at the outset, he will end up with a good harvest. The wise farmer knows that all the seeds will not fall on fertile ground and that not all of the sprouting seeds will grow to fruition. In fact, he will fail in 3 out of the 4 places that he flings all those seeds. This should blow our minds about God and truly upset our plans as modern day people. Because sometimes I think we worry so much about efficiency, so much about budgets and if there will be enough, that it affects our view of God. We begin to believe and even tell others by our words and actions that God hands out little pieces of communion bread instead of whole loaves. God hands out little drops from a cup rather than a whole cup for us to drink. Or single bags of groceries rather than the food of this earth. Or even only so much grace and forgiveness rather than the life, death, and resurrection of his Son. But the image of God Jesus gives us like this is like this farmer who flings seeds here and there and everywhere. God is like a farmer who flings seeds of grace and love and hope anywhere and everywhere possible. Because this God, this generous, abundant God, knows that his word does not return empty-handed. So he does not calculate. He flings. Maybe it won't produce much now, or maybe it will. I mean, who knows what will happen in the life of an adult we pray for or invite to church? Who knows what will happen to the youth because we have a youth group? Who knows what will happen to the confirmation student who has a place to ask hard questions? Who knows what will happen to the child whose church lives their baptismal promise and teaches them the faith? Well, it turns out that Debbie Hager, one of our members, tells a story of what will happen from VBS. She wrote to me, "Derek had become extremely agitated today, Wednesday, because of another camper. His name was Sean, and he had been following Derek around too closely, getting in Derek's space consistently since the first day of VBS. Sean had been sitting with and copying Derek and another boy's every move," she writes, "right down to spilling his water on purpose after the other boys spilled their water on accident. The spilling of the water on purpose was the last straw for Derek, and he complained loudly to Sean about it. 'Why are you doing this? Why do you keep following me? Why do you have to copy me? I don't want you to sit with me,' he said. 'And I don't want you standing next to me in line anymore.' A teen helper was quick to respond to Derek's outburst, She was giving good advice to all three boys, and Derek would not have, but Derek would not have any of it. It was time for me, Debbie, to intervene. I acknowledged Derek's feelings, but my message to him was clear. Here at VBS, we encourage people to make friends, to be a friend, and get along. Do you remember that today we are thinking about who our hero is? You know, you might be a hero to someone. Maybe you are a hero to Sean. Maybe Sean looks up to you, admires you for who you are. He sees something in you that makes him want to be like you, to be friends with you. I'm not going to stop him or anyone from trying to make friends. You're going to have to figure out how to deal with this, Derek, she said to him. Derek did not have anything to say after that. Moments later, it was time to line up and head into the sanctuary for music class. He walked away with his head and shoulders down. I knew he wasn't happy with how our little talk had turned out. He eventually came around during music class, and he participated fully during the remaining classes and the closing assembly. If Sean chose to follow or sit near Derek, there was no more negative comments and no outbursts from him. During reflection time, the kids were asked to write down the name of who a hero was to them. I was collecting the cards as the kids were simultaneously being signed out for the day. Derek approached me with his card, and I looked him in the eye, and I told him he was my hero. His eyes wide with shock. He wasn't expecting me to say that. I went on to tell him that he was my hero because I knew he had to overcome a difficult situation. I told him I watched him figure it out as I had challenged him to do. And as the day went on, I told him he was an inspiration for me for being able to do so. And without skipping a beat, Derek looked at Debbie and said, "Well, I learned a very big lesson today. I learned that you have to have a heart. A big heart, and that you have to make room in it for everyone." Friends, the parable says, other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Listen to how God's word was implanted into Derek. Listen to what creation is trying to tell us every day. Listen to who God is today, a flinger of abundant grace and love, whose word is trying to accomplish something in us and for this world. Pay attention that the seed of God may grow in you so that you can share God's word with your life. It will not come back empty. Amen.